Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 161. And we are very lucky today to be joined by one of the new members of the OAC. I guess the newest? Who joined first, you or Falcon?
That's tough, honestly. I don't know.
Who got put in the group chat first?
I did get put in the group chat first.
This is the chicken and the egg scenario.
Yeah.
Who came first?
But you may recognize his voice. It's Mr. Dylan Jacobs. Dylan, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I don't know if too many people actually recognize my voice, but but no, thank you. Thank you for having me, boys. I'm excited. This is great.
We're very excited. Dylan is a very, very loved member of the team. I mean, everyone that's joined the team so far is loved. Mm-hmm. No one is not loved. But he loves to chat. He's actually a few times mentioned starting his own podcast. So maybe today will be a little springboard into that. Is that still a potential plan?
Yeah, it's really just when I came here, I wanted to compete against you guys. You know, that's my main goal.
We can't handle competition, Dylan. Just letting you know.
Nah, George has beat me in too many games. I know he can handle competition.
Let's talk about it after. I mean, we got this lovely studio that we pay for, and we only use it once a week, so we should get you in here.
Like a lot of the major podcasts. A lot of the major podcasts have like sub podcasts.
The network. Like,
Become a network. Coffee Club Enterprises. We have the Dill Pickle podcast.
Hey, think about it. We'll only take 90% of your money or something like that. It'll be a really good deal.
Hey, I'm just in it for the good time. That's all, man.
Hell yeah. So today we are going to talk a lot about Dylan Jacobs. We have some lovely questions sent in. First, however, this is NCAA Cross Week. We were talking pre-pod about how this has been our worst year so far in terms of covering / following along with the NCAAs. We're getting too old. So, I mean, hopefully Dylan is a little more connected than we are. Where do we even begin if we're going to preview? All right. Actually, I know where we begin.
All right, how are we going to be? Because I was going to say for men's and women's winners, I'm going men, Kai Robinson, women, Parker Valby for the win at the cross country championships.
It's a big pick. Those are good picks. Now, I think we begin first with the fact that it's back in Madison, Wisconsin.
Yes.
That's something that we all know
who
about.
Won the last one that was back in Madison, I wonder? Who was the last winner of the Madison?
I think it was NAU.
It was NAU. Oh, shit. But there's a fun fact about that race, though. I'm pretty sure George Beamish, Joe Klecker, I think Mario, Yard, myself, Morgan, and Jaime Garcia Romo were all in the same race in Madison.
Is this true?
I think this is true. Yeah.
Were you in the race, Dylan, or
I was on the sideline watching. Well, I was watching all you guys.
Dylan was there, but that's a crazy stat because one of them is now working with developing the shoes that we wear, and the rest are on the team.
There are a lot of people in the NCAA cross race, though.
No, but I know.
Just to water down that.
It's a cool little fact. It's a little fun fact, okay?
It's not like lining up for a 1500 where there's like 10 people. Where there's like 240 people on the line.
It's still a fun fact.
Still a shared memory.
Yeah, hey, that's coming from NAU over there. From my year at Tennessee, everyone was super excited to make the national meet. No, they didn't for a couple years.
We don't take it for granted at Tennessee.
NAU had too many wins, man.
But
I shouldn't have put it like that. You're right.
I did look at the weather because last time what was so cool about it made it feel like real cross country. Was that it snowed a ton. And I don't actually know if it was expected. I didn't really check the weather last time, but that like during the week was normal. It was cold. The ground was really hard. And then the night before the race, I think it snowed a ton. So we all woke up to this beautiful, white, soft cross-country course.
We were
staying
at the hotel as well, remember? We opened the things and we could see all the white. Well, at the pre-meet, we did a little pre-meet like session. And I remember it was like the ground was so hard. It was like almost like a track. I was like, wow, this is going to be very, very fast nationals. And then we woke up to snow and we thought, this is like perfect. This is our backyard.
This is cross country.
Time to crush.
If it was snowing, would you guys like train outside, like on the course at all or no?
And you know, just with when cross country is, that never actually happened. Yeah. I don't think it ever snowed when we were meant to go train at the track, course, sorry. So we didn't actually run into that. We had sometimes where it was bad weather and so we would have to go to different places actually, so maybe we did avoid it, I think, but mostly the bad weather would make us train like inside or something like that, but that was more of like an indoor type thing. Cross season was normally fine, but it's meant to be cold this week and there's potential for snow during the week, but it doesn't look like maybe the night before or the day before there'll be snow, so I'm not sure if that'll be a factor, but it'll just be cold as fuck.
That's good for the Badgers.
Yeah. So do we have any picks? I guess one thing from our perspective that's interesting to talk about is this must be NAU's lowest rank going into nationals in how many years?
I was about to say a good place to start would be the rankings, because those people have probably been following.
They cross, might know more than us.
Slightly closer than we have, although I don't know any individual rankings. So that one. Yes, but yes, I think, I don't even know what are the, I don't know what the NAU men are ranked, but I believe it's like 6 or 8 or something.
Crazy.
All I know is I think Notre Dame beat them early in the year.
I think at Notre Dame.
Which I think like that was the main goal of the season. So, no, I'm just kidding.
So Notre Dame's just chilling
since,
now.
Since then, Notre Dame dropped like 20 spots though.
Well, I think they're a NCAA XE like championship performer team. You know what I mean? Like they step up when really? When it's like, cold out in Madison and everything's going on. Yeah.
All right,
we'll see about that. They won regionals, I think.
They did. I think they beat Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, I think they won both the men's and women's.
The women's they won. I know that. I didn't see the men's.
NAU did not get an auto spot internationals, which is crazy. But maybe the first time in, I don't know.
What's happening with Mike Smith? With Michael, is he struggling a little bit?
Do you hear that?
He's leaving. is he leaving to join Coffee Club? Is he going to be like just sit here and write training programs and we'll just talk about stuff?
I actually know so little about. I don't even know if their team at regionals was their like best team.
Here's a good question.
I literally just don't know who's on the team.
How many people right now can you name that are going to line up for NAU at nationals?
Baxter.
this will show how far gone we are.
Salami.
Salami.
Big name.
I think just one salami. I don't know what Salami Jr. has been doing, but the transfer, Malaki, that dude's good actually.
Yeah, he is pretty good.
From Florida State.
Yeah, he was at Florida. He was in our regional last year. He's a good runner.
He is good. I'm blanking a little bit. Well, the Australian guy, Kane, maybe.
Yeah.
So yeah, we don't know much.
Yeah, I'm out.
What about Drew Bosley?
Drew Boz does not have cross. He already ran 5 NCAA cross countries.
Why not 6?
Wait, can you run 5?
You could if you were there during COVID.
Oh, the classic COVID years.
Did you run that? Did you run COVID cross?
I did run COVID cross. I only had 4 years of cross though, because I registered my freshman year. But I actually, speaking of Bosley, I saw him in the airport coming back from the New York City Marathon.
Yeah, he is running and racing again, which is good to see.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's
after a tough year.
We do love to see that.
So what I do know is that BYU has the top ranked teams on both sides, I think.
Really?
Which
amazing.
Actually is with that's actually pretty impressive. Has both teams, or has one school won both team championships ever?
Yes.
Did Stanford? Was it
Stanford or
maybe?
Oregon, I think, did.
I think
did
it was one, Stanford or Colorado.
Yeah. Oh, Colorado. Maybe Colorado or Stanford.
But
yeah.
I think early 2000s Stanford would be my guess. Back when they were the machine or whatever they called themselves.
Because that would be a crazy feat by the Mormons.
It's probably when Dathan won cross or some shit.
Yeah, throwing it back. So yeah, we cannot preview this race very well because we don't know what the fuck is going on. Dylan, you're our link to the younger generation.
Oh man, well,
what do you know? What's going on with these NCAA teams?
Honestly,
who's your picks?
I don't know a ton, but like individual or team wise, you said.
Either.
Well, team wise, I'll say like because I've been following Big 12 a little, like with Colorado out here now. BYU looks unreal. They look like incredible. I mean, they've had that Stiepler who was in the made the Olympics last year. He's
Clarigan.
On it. Then Klinger.
Klinger is still there.
Klinger's still there.
Yeah, he's still
there. Okay, our generation, isn't he?
He was your age, I think. He ran 2017 cross.
That's amazing.
In Louisville.
He's a performer though.
And I think he was all American, wasn't he?
He was like 16th or 17th. It was insane.
You know he's showing up at this meet. There's no
and that
doubt.
Was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
That's.
Did he go on a mission?
He did.
And that's. Yeah. And he's come back and.
Okay. And then there was COVID, so he's really cashed in. How many degrees do you think he has?
Probably not one yet.
Zero. He's probably still.
Probably 0.9.
He's on his first one.
And then, but Oklahoma State, I think they're pretty good. They won it last year, right? So then,
I think they were ranked number one all year until conference.
Yeah,
they're in the same conference, not conference regionals. Well, they got beaten by
conference. Yeah, I think conference. So they're obviously they're a contender.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who would you like to see win?
Oh man, I mean outside of Notre Dame,
Tennessee.
Well, Tennessee's not, it's a sore subject, man. That's a sore subject.
What, did they get
we
close?
We get it. Wisconsin made it, man. Come on.
Did they get close?
They were third in the region.
And they still didn't make it?
Nah. It's not the best region.
Is it the South?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, weak region.
It's wild, the regions. There's some that are, like, really weak, and then some you look and it's, like, seven teams are going to make it.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember looking at Mountain Region back in the day, and it was like you'd expect seven or eight.
Mm-hmm. Consistently.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I actually saw something that I think it was Tulane made it. The Tulane men made it to Nationals for the first time since 2000 or something like that. Wow. They're in the same region as Texas.
That is South.
Oh, that's South.
I thought
okay,
so.
Okay, yeah, then Tennessee might not be. They might be a different one.
They might be Southeast.
Tennessee is probably Southeast.
They're with Ole Miss and.
Yeah, that's Southeast.
FSU. Yeah, okay,
South.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, Southeast. Everyone always says is better than South. Like South is very weak.
Yeah. I mean Tulane, that's like awesome.
Good for them.
First time in 20 years.
Good for
that's
them.
Incredible.
Is that the New Orleans school?
I believe so. I'm almost positive. Yeah. I think it's the Green Wave. That's their
imagine training there. I say that without ever having been there.
Training in New Orleans, dude, you'd be able to you get fed well. Mm-hmm. Po' boys and gumbo for lunch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dude, I wouldn't want to be behind the tempo line of that. Jesus. Get some farts in.
Shooting blanks is right.
I was going to say, individually, I think probably the people that we know the most is going to be a big matchup with is Graham shooting blanks and Hubton Samuel. Yeah. And then
went 1-2 last year, right?
A slew of other amazing, amazing individuals on the men's side.
This is the fun thing with cross country, though. You just don't know what's going to happen until the race happens because like people can have off days and people can just have the fucking race of their lives.
Well, so, do we think Graham shooting blanks is going to be able to repeat? He's coming off a big Olympics, so a late start in terms of training for cross. He did already get beaten in Madison by Hubton, but we know that he was kind of like, more early season, not quite as fit. So he's had an extra month or two now to catch up.
How has he looked? What happened? Regionals?
I think he's been fine.
We should have gotten in touch with Gibby. And then real answer, but
did you see the guy who won the mountain region?
Who
has
was
a half marathon PR faster than the American record?
Who the hell was that?
His half marathon PR from 2023 is 59:30.
Wow. I will say the NCAA is it's so different than like even 2 years ago.
Can you even
like
imagine so lining up names against that dude?
Not in cross country, bro.
Yeah, but it could have been a joke. Josh Kerr half marathon.
Well, didn't Samuel, Hampton Samuel have crazy PRs coming over?
Well, it might have been Valencia or somewhere. But
well, Valencia, I meant
59:30 is 59:30.
Going downhill, though.
Unless it's like maybe you're doing like 5,000 feet of downhill.
If you had a downhill 5,000 feet, I reckon.
Not even Josh Kerr ran 59:30.
What did he run? 61?
Can't remember.
Maybe 59:40 or something.
What school is that, George?
Solomon Kipchoge from Texas Tech.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
where did you find that like half marathon time? Did you just look up this?
I just typed in Solomon Kipchoge.
But how did you know him?
Because he won regionals.
Because he won regionals. Yeah. I was looking at NA results and
you're like,
region.
Oh, he won, and then you checked. He's like, holy shit, he's got a 59:30 half marathon PR.
It's absolutely
dude,
ridiculous.
That's actually crazy. That's what the NCAA just has little nuggets of that, you know, nuggets.
I will say, I think training like in the cold when you're going into a race like Madison where it's colder, I think that actually is such a big advantage. Like my year at Tennessee, mm-hmm. I remember I went home for Christmas break. We used to run. It's like 0 degrees, like single digits, and it like felt normal. I went back and I was like, I'm not going outside. It's like 15 degrees. I was like, it's freezing. What do you mean?
It changes
like,
things a lot.
It really, you become soft really quick.
Mm-hmm. I mean, having NCAAs in Madison compared to like Tallahassee or somewhere does really change it up.
Yeah.
But I kind of love that. I love that it's not the same.
Yeah, that's good.
If you think of cross, I think you think of colder weather. Not that, I mean, like that's sick cross country down in Florida as well in a different way, but I think it really feels like cross when you're
particularly
at
for us,
Midwest.
It was in the winter when we did it growing up.
Yeah, so it's perfect.
Australia, so for us, we really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's cold.
Who do you think is going to win?
I did my picks.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, Kai Robinson. Taco Bell.
Oh, okay, my bad. Yeah, I missed
no,
that.
No, I mean, I don't know anyone on the women's side. The men's side, I only know Graham Blanks. That's it.
Okay.
I like watching it and then I probably watch it and then like
I like watching it and then making my picks.
Yeah. I like watching it be on my phone and then from like a K out I might make my pick. You know.
What I am looking forward to though is that again ESPN is
ESPN.
Covering
you.
It.
ESPN U
is covering it like ad free for a couple of hours again.
Let's see if they
last
can
year
pull it off.
That was some of like the best cross country footage I've ever seen. Wait.
Yeah.
Where was it last year?
Wasn't like Virginia or something?
I believe so. Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah. Is that the one I'm thinking of?
I think last year was good. I remember us coming away from it and saying, wow, that was one of the best race watching experiences.
We went with a bunch of drones.
Yeah, they had like really good, really good
cutaways.
Yeah.
And we were thinking, wow, we should just go back to sound running cross country and give it another chance because, damn. When you watch cross country as a professional runner, you just miss cross country. Like, you miss the team. I mean, maybe, like, I know talking to Jared, he does not miss how long it was, but he misses the camaraderie with the team and going for the team title. It's a very, very wholesome thing. And
there's nothing like it.
Last
year, I was traveling to meets, and you get there, you sit in the hotel, and you're like, wait, so I'll just, like, chill here till the race now? Like, I don't hang out with anyone? You know what I mean? Like, back in college, you go to these races, and you, like, everyone's, oh, you got this going on. You have, like, a schedule for every day, and you're hanging out at night until everyone's, like, going to bed. It's a great time.
Well, we hang out at meets with other people.
Yeah, I just usually don't.
You might just not. You're probably just, you know, you're new to the game, bro. You just got to go make some friends. Go down to the dining lobby.
Well, now you're on our team, so it's all right.
Yeah, I had Morgan in LA. We had breakfast and lunch. I was super happy about that, man.
Wait, was I in LA?
We were the day before you, though.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah,
I was thinking with Hobbs, I think.
Yeah, the fact that you get to race with your teammates, guys you spend all this time with, it just means so much.
Oh yeah,
getting to do it all, and that's where, you know, those really special memories get made. And so, yeah, we're all going to look back on it so fondly, but at the same time, be like, oh, thank God we got out of the end today when we did. So our asses are not getting kicked by 59:30 half marathon runners.
You ever see the video? It was a guy in the March Madness tournament, and they asked him, like, his team just lost, so the season was over. And he was, like, graduating. They asked him what his favorite part of, like, his favorite memory from college was. And he was like, man, I think it was just, like, going out to eat with the boys, man.
Doesn't get any better than
that. Wholesome.
Everyone was giving him crap, but it's like, that's so true.
That's so wholesome.
If you've been there, that's what you remember, just those good times.
Yeah, no doubt.
The wins, the medals, whatever, they kind of fade away.
Yeah.
The boys, the
times. Always remember, like, after a big event, like, whether it was, like, an after party or a big race or something big on campus, the next day run. Where you'd meet in the locker room and, like, all these stories happen, all these side quests, and you all congregate and then go for your run together with the team, and then you just talk the entire run about, like, all the shit that happened. Oh, I miss those times. Like, we still have those. Like, we're fortunate enough to keep going with this, but in college, I miss that. That was pretty sick.
Yeah. Some good reminiscing.
Good reminiscing.
Could go on
good
forever.
Good nostalgia.
Could go on forever here. But yeah, is there anything else that we want to say about Interfleet Cross before we move on?
Good luck, Mike Smith. Good luck, Mike.
Oh, yeah, last one.
Last season for Mike. Can
honestly,
he, can
the
he
fairy
end in a
tale,
win?
The fairy tale would be he comes in 2017, wins with the men, leaves in 2024, wins with the women. That would be.
Are the women ranked pretty high?
Maybe two, maybe three.
They were really good this. I mean, they were really good
last
year.
They were
really
good early. They were second by 1 point last year to NC State. They ranked number two currently, I believe.
Behind NC State has Kaelin Tui, so
behind,
like,
BYU.
How are you going to compete with that?
As they got better, did his focus shift more towards the women, or do you think it stayed pretty even?
Well, the men are a lot worse now, so. No, I think it was just he came in and the women were, like, they just, like, weren't as good.
They were in a building phase.
They were just rebuilding.
They were in the pipeline.
And so now it's just, like,
activated.
Now they're activated, yeah.
They are pretty good.
Yeah, no doubt.
Makes sense.
Didn't you get you got a lot of transfers though, right?
For the women?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I heard that.
I know where you're going with that.
I heard he had a few transfers.
Transfers do change the game a lot. And all the good schools have like a billion transfers now. It's kind of silly, actually.
The funniest thing is seeing when, like, there's new coaches get appointed, and then there's all of a sudden the transfer portal just goes fucking bananas, and there's like 40 people.
Do you know who doesn't get transfers though?
Wisconsin.
Oh, BYU.
Well, BYU, Wisconsin doesn't get transfers, which is weird to me, because BYU might make sense because BYU is not a school that probably people transfer to a lot.
If you didn't go there at the start, there's no reason.
Can I just ask a dumb question?
Later. Yeah.
Do you have to be Mormon to go to BYU? Or could you just be really into running?
I don't think you have to be.
I met one guy that wasn't Mormon that went to BYU and he ran the 800. But I talked to him about
Papa
it. I talked to him about it at a post national party. Texas AMT?
AMT.
Texas AT&T.
That's the one.
Texas AT&T. that was when I got my first All American. And I remember I was chatting to him, super nice guys, with Carlos as well. That was a fun night, actually. But Carlos and I were chatting about stuff. And then we asked him because it was just like he's, I think he was of Mexican origin. I'm actually not 100% sure, but we'll ask him about it. And he's not Mormon. He says it's actually pretty lonely because like it's such a community environment for them. Whereas like if you're not part of that community, it's very hard to, you used to be friends with everyone, but you don't, you know.
Well, the Ole Miss guys, they're in town right now. So I was talking to them the other day and they were like, there was a guy who was trying to transfer from BYU and he was looking at Ole Miss and I think it was like Utah Valley. And they were like, it would just be such a like change of scenery, change of life to go from like BYU to SEC Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Like just such a wild change.
I mean, that's like going from NAU to I mean, anywhere really.
there's no place like
there's no place like it. Like, I mean, people that leave NAU, like they'll just it becomes their identity. Like, literally, they have like a secret cult handshake when they go to
everything's
go to parties.
A step down.
Dude,
yeah.
he does wear his NAU gear a lot. I see still.
So full of shit.
The funniest thing, you watch though, Dylan. Just to give you a rundown, like on the day that National Cross will be on, Jordy will be wearing like NAU stuff.
I respect that.
Will you be wearing Wisconsin stuff though?
If I can find it.
I can't find any of my Wisconsin. I can find my jersey. That's it. I have my jersey. I don't know if I would have any NAU t-shirt.
The thing is, you're actually talking to the wrong person right now because when I have been over at Dylan's place, he's in a full Tennessee tracksuit.
Whoa,
the Notre Dame thing is gone. It's just Tennessee.
Full Tennessee.
No.
Am I lying? Am I lying?
No, the issue is when we're going to like the hot tub or hanging out or going to the pool or whatever, it's just like an easy get up, you just put on some sweats. So
okay,
just
that's
like
an excuse. Why have you not 100%. Wearing a Notre Dame? Like, if Yard caught you doing that, he would be pretty disappointed in you.
Yeah, but it's, like, I look at it as my last year was the school, like, I came from. So it's like, I came from Notre Dame, but I definitely associate with Tennessee stuff.
Also, Tennessee was the Nike stuff, so
you were Under Armour. Hang on.
Notre Dame was Under Armour. Honestly, we were Under Armour, and good point. The Nike stuff's probably...
Under Armour was interesting. We like we didn't wear the shoes anymore. The spikes. We like switched to some spikes. We had to unbrand them.
Nor did we.
We were wearing the ASICS spikes. I mean,
I think they've gotten better though. I'd say the Under Armour spikes.
No, they are. Like the Under Armour runners are like got incredible stuff now. They've really stepped up, but they took them a while to get there.
So Tennessee, Notre Dame, and football. Who are you going for?
I've been asked this multiple times, and I think I would have to say Tennessee. I mean, because
they're both ranked highly right now, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, it's the environment of the football game, right? So, like, the best game I ever was at, like, football-wise, it was Tennessee against Bama at Tennessee. And they won. We all stormed the field. They, like, took the goalpost, threw it in the river and everything. And it was, like, it was loud from the first snap of the game until the last play of the game. And I was, like, I've never seen anything like that. Like, it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Wisconsin's like. I know they have that like jump around thing.
We have a good time. Just,
I would say like our team like in general was like solid, but we were never like that as good as Tennessee and Notre Dame. But the games are always a great experience.
Oh yeah,
the games are crazy at Wisconsin.
And the tailgating I feel like the most impact I had with it was the tailgating because Morgan and I lived in a house, so it was very close to the stadium.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't always go to the games, but we could hear the games going on when we were like at home and we're mostly recovering from like a long run or whatever because it was Sunday. But we would have Saturday. We'd be just chilling. But we'd be chilling.
Technically Saturday.
I keep thinking Sunday's NFL, Saturday's college. I got to remember that.
To end the story, we were so close to the stadium that we rented out our backyard and our front yard.
Yeah.
So we were very much so part of a game day Saturday.
We literally moved into these people giving us a card saying, hey, we'll pay you X amount of money, which mostly went to utilities for us.
Yeah.
If we can tailgate at your place and park our cars here.
Yeah.
No brainer. We got free beer, free snacks and stuff. They were super friendly. They had their cars there. They'd never bother us. They'd just be vibing, having a good time, go to the game and then drive off and we'd... It was amazing. It was like as a foreigner, it was so cool.
Yeah.
Tailgating. I thought that was a really cool thing.
I mean, I remember in college watching a video. I think didn't you guys do a house tour or something?
Oh, yeah, God. When Ollie was still there.
I remember watching that video.
I sang Country Road with Zach Snyder playing the guitar, and it went for like the whole song. Just filmed the whole thing.
Could you give us a bit right now?
No, absolutely not. No. You go check Let's Run or whatever it's on.
Okay.
Is it Let's Run?
What were the NAU football games like? They're probably similar.
why can't I think of that right now? I'm just racking my brains for what the football games were like. Fuck.
You guys are probably doing double T.
That's about to go nothing, right?
Yeah, busy.
I think I went to 3 football games.
Okay.
For the 3 times we had to take the trophy onto the field at halftime.
Oh, wow.
They were often working out on the track while the football game was going. The track around the football.
And we're fans had to watching, get out of the way.
Yeah, we're fans watching you guys work out.
I'll be honest. It wasn't a...
Mark Smith would run out and have all the security with him.
Yeah. It wasn't a priority while living in Flagstaff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the short and
they got more important things to worry about.
Yeah.
So yeah, college, man, good times.
Ah, good times, man.
Yeah. What a step down memory lane.
Yeah. Regardless of our lackluster knowledge of who's actually competing this weekend at NCLacrosse, we will all be watching and we will be enjoying it a lot because it is one of the greatest races of the year.
And we'll give a good...
We'll be cheering. We'll give a recap.
Good recap. We'll give a good recap because we will be watching it. So
are you guys going to text Mick Byrne before? Wish him good luck. Do you guys do that?
Mick, we send him something in the mail.
Okay.
Yeah, more than just a text.
Okay. How do you think they're going to run? Like Bob Liking, so I'm from Illinois. He's from Illinois.
Bob is a legend. He's a legend. 4-time Big Ten winner. I mean, I could see Bob being up there.
The thing with Bob is that thus far, he's been amazing up until Nationals. And I think this is his final chance. So this year has to be the year where it all clicks. I would love for just one time... I'm not blaming anyone for this, but during my time at Wisconsin at Nationals, we would always kind of crater as a team. You know how like it's just the way it goes at Nationals. It's the most competitive deep race you'll ever really be in. Yeah. And so if people just run, like if your team just runs good at Nationals, you will do well as a team. But often it's like, it's just so hard. It's so brutal. And that never really happened for us. Based on like comparing it to our rankings, we kind of always went the opposite way. So I would just like them to like, just get it done, you know, just actually race up to their potential and it's at home. And I think if you do that, like they, you know, they have the talent to be like top 5, but it's just brutal.
Our highest rank when Morgan and I were in college, I think was like 4th or 5th. And that was that Madison year. And like, we did not do well.
I think what's tough about the meet is like, you could be in 120th and that's like a good day. You know, your team can get like 8th if you have a couple guys around there, like 8th to 10th.
Definitely.
But you have no clue where you are and you don't feel like it's
this
a good day.
This is the crazy thing
so
too. You can go from 120th to 60th in like 2K as well. You could pass like so many people. If
you
just
used
like
to say,
if you just cross the last 2K.
I think like 60th to 100th.
Yeah, and you can go backwards 60 places in 2K as well. It's insane.
I think if you're finishing 60th to 100th, you're honestly probably a very similar fitness level. It's just if you have it that day or not. Because it's like if you get yourself in the right pack and you like start going with them, it's so much easier.
One thing that I always said is that it's so much harder to run in, let's say, 100th place than it is to run in like 1st or 5th place.
Were you saying this when you were coming down the home stretch?
Yeah,
first?
I was like, that was so easy. No, it's just.
Have you watched that? You were there, but did you? That finish was like Morgan's finish was like the most epic finish I've ever seen in cross country. I couldn't see it until the replay, obviously, because I was in the race. But the amount of talent in that front pack, Olympians and vice versa accolades, and you just see Morgan go past him and turn back, and then the Wisconsin fans going fucking nuts. It was unreal.
How was it winning at home? Day. Like that's got it. That's like a dream as a runner, you know, like win at your home course in cross country. Like, how was it?
It was amazing. It's probably in terms of memories in the sport, I don't think anything will come close to it until I'm able to have like a big level of success, like literally at the world stage. I don't think any other thing. Well, it's just especially for us because, like, for me, I came in as a freshman, and freshman year, we're already saying 5 years from now, NCAA Cross is going to be here on our course, you know? So it's just, it was so much build up. It was so special. it was just like the perfect day, really.
So you spoke it into existence.
Yeah, and then it was just
Morgan
magical.
Was insane that year, though.
Yeah, oh, so. No. I mean, I remember the DMR that winter then. I was telling him, we're lining up. It's the first race. Carlson's basically like, Dylan, like, don't fuck it up. Like, you'll be okay. Just hand off in a decent spot. And I get to the line. I look next to me, and it's Morgan. And I'm like, there's no way this is real. Like, I'm about to get destroyed right now.
Well, they're crazy.
That was a good DMR.
One of the coolest, not to make Morgan's head any bigger, but yeah, one of the coolest quotes I've experienced in college. Because, like, I was going through a stage where, like, I had won NCAAs, and then junior year I was, like, having some cock-ups, you know? And Morgan was going through this just like epic senior year where he's won cross, he's won two indoor, NCAA champ. Like, he was untouchable, right, in every race. We go into the 5K. There's all these nerves. People are thinking, like, can Grant Fisher get him? Can he get him? And then there's one quote from Mick always sticks in my head. And he, like, looked at Morgan. Morgan and him had, like, a brief chat. And Morgan's going over in Austin, Texas, which, and it was nighttime. I'm walking over. And I was sitting there with my family. And I didn't race that well. And then Mick just goes to me and he's like, Morgan's already run the race. He's already won it. I look into his eye. He's already won it. He's ready. He's locked in. And I'm like, dude, how can you, after winning all this time, like, is there any nerves that you might just cock it up and not win this one? And Mick just said, nah, he's already won it. Because and then watching that race, you just watch Morgan. He's like, yeah, he's won it. Like, Grant went, Morgan went past him, and then Morgan just did the Jakob. Morgan did the Jakob situation before Jakob did it. Put the finger up, and that was it. And then Mick's walking around with his lips pursed, waiting for his pint of Guinness for his celebrations. But that was one of the coolest quotes. He's like, he's already won it, you know?
It looks like Morgan loves us talking about him winning these races.
But those things, like, in college, like, it's just, it's funny because it is, well, college is now semi-professional.
Yeah.
It's like baseball now.
It is professional, like literally, those guys.
What's baseball's A-League? Is it the
minors?
Is it the minors and the majors?
The AAA?
Yeah. Like, AAA, is the AAA or minors be more like college for running?
Well, the minors, it is AAA. It goes like majors, AAA.
There is also
AA.
College baseball.
Yeah, I know, but I'm trying to just take that college baseball away, but the analogy of majors and minors, like, minors is like college running. No majors doubt. Is professional running, pretty much. Like, it's very, like, you just go the next stage. But, all right, enough. Morgan's
almost like collegiate and professional.
Yeah. But, like, the level is so high.
I do get what you're trying to say, what you are saying, that the people that are exceeding at the college level are literally would also succeed at the
they're
professional level.
They're, like, one
level.
Step away. They could, like, go up.
They're not even
they
a
have.
Step
they're,
away.
There's
they
Olympians
are.
In there.
Yeah.
Like,
they could go
they're
up.
They're
not one.
They're sub-27-minute 10K runners.
Yeah.
I mean, Graham. Graham was in the final of the 5K.
No Australian has ever broken 27 in the 10K and a bunch of two collegiates.
The collegiate's PR is faster than the American record.
In the back to the half marathon.
Yeah.
The Australian record. And many records.
Yeah. I mean, we won't talk about the New Zealand records.
It's the way.
So, college. We're going to recap it next week and we're going to be very excited. We're going to, once again, on the team, probably do a little, well, we are going to do a little draft contest. I think the prize is it $100 Amazon gift voucher?
Yeah.
I can't wait for Andy to win.
Yeah.
Anytime Andy sets up any fantasy thing, which is lovely of him because it's always fun to participate in Andy's little fantasy runs, he always picks the best stuff and then he wins.
Well, Cinta won $100 last year.
Cinta won last year. Oh, what did. Was really funny last year and maybe also concerning was that Dathan did terrible. Do you guys remember?
Wait, really?
But he also, he admitted before that he's like, I don't know anything. I'm just going off like people that I kind of know.
That's the same with the
I think he just didn't really care.
NFL, the NFL fantasy team that you took over from him. He picked people in the NFL that had similar names to like his family members and people he knew. Like there was like his daughter's name Addison, and then, like he picked a running back with the last name Addison, but he's on the bench.
Just never plays.
He never plays. Like it's like Dathan, you got to pick
RB1.
Actual play. Yeah,
I've seen so many people do like a March Madness bracket though, based on like the color that they like, and then all of a sudden their bracket like wins, and you're like, how does that happen?
So Dylan Jacobs. Yeah,
did you guys know he won Foot Locker?
What year?
I didn't know that actually.
Didn't?
No, I was messing. It was 2017.
He was like the best runner in high school. Found this out like today.
Well, I that year I will say Brody was. I mean, you know Brody. Brody was dominating. Brody won NXN that year,
and you won Foot Locker.
Yeah.
I didn't know you guys were the same year.
Yeah, he was good. He was good. Really good. He still is, but yeah.
Yeah,
and
so Dylan's a legend.
No.
Dylan's a legend. Now Dylan has succeeded at every level he's competed at thus far. just recently coming fifth at the Olympic trials in the 5K off what was, he will admit himself, like a up and down year. It wasn't like smooth sailing. So to come out fifth at the Olympic trials despite challenges is very, very, very impressive. Now he's part of our team. You know, it's just going to be on the up here. So we're all very excited to see what's going to come in the near future. I think it is kind of weird to just take, well, let's just go down some different laneways. And I think we will do a base off the questions. Excitingly, we do have a couple of questions that have been submitted via.
I feel like I might recognize some of these voices.
I think you might as well. Let's see.
Hi, Mark. Word on the street is that you have a podcast guest that Kai and I have some questions for. My first question is ACC or SEC and why?
Just got another one coming.
My second question is, what is your go-to karaoke song?
Oh, man.
Thank you, Maya.
Just in time, yeah. Well, we know Ali's is Country Roads Take Me Home. But I think ACC or SEC is tough. I mean, I enjoyed the SEC. You know, they say it means more, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's like the
SEC says that. I don't think anyone outside the SEC says that.
Didn't come up with that. That's been around for
yeah, no,
quite
that's
a while.
That's like
their literal motto.
It's literally on all the t-shirts.
Under the t-shirt
mates.
Name, yeah.
I enjoyed the SEC. I really did. I think it's the ACC is very deep. I think the SEC is obviously still extremely top heavy, but the ACC is extremely top heavy still, but I think the SEC is as well. And I enjoyed my time there, man. Like, I think when you're happy, like in life in general, you enjoy what you're doing a lot more. You usually run better. You like are enjoying the people you're around. And I think like, I love Notre Dame. Like, it was a great time, but I think the switch up from cold weather, Notre Dame, like academically challenging and everything to you go to SEC. I mean, still academically challenging. Hang on, let me put that out there, but it's,
safe.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But like for, you know, that you have 1 year there and it's like, you just want to get to know everyone, have a good time. Like the team was a lot of transfers and new people, and the people who were there took us all in super well. And I think just the camaraderie that we had made that year so enjoyable. So that's why I think like my viewpoint of the SEC is like so much fonder in a way.
Was there ever a plan other than following Carlson to Tennessee? Like, did you ever have any other like picture in your mind?
Honestly, no, because I wanted to go to Tennessee. Like after my
you wanted
last
to go to Tennessee,
year,
or you wanted to follow Carlson to Tennessee?
I wanted to.
Were you already looking at going to Tennessee for your fifth year?
No. But so he was definitely a big impact on it. But I definitely wanted to a change of scenery. Like, I love Notre Dame. I was excited. I wanted like a switch up in a way.
Yeah.
And I think it was just the perfect opportunity. Like, I just graduated, so like got the degree.
You just won an NCAA title.
Yeah, yeah.
In the 10K.
Exactly. So, exactly.
Was that your last race at Notre Dame?
No, actually, the 5K was after, which we don't have to talk about that. We could just forget about that one. But no, yeah. I mean, the reason I went was obviously Carlson being there, but I was outside of that super excited to go.
You were happy that he picked Tennessee.
Yeah, like I took a visit and I was like, oh, these guys are awesome.
Yeah,
like I'm super excited for it.
Makes sense.
Sweet. Yeah.
And then her other question was karaoke song.
Yeah, which you should give the context of why she's asking that.
Yeah,
as well.
We just had a little team hangout where we had, it was like a karaoke night.
So
we
all housewarming.
Housewarming for like their house, Maya, Kai, and Olivia.
It wasn't a house.
The freshman.
It wasn't a house. It was a party. It turned into that's a karaoke party.
But
a housewarming party.
Yeah, that's what it should be.
I mean, it was super
epic.
Enjoyable. Oh,
it was
my
so
god!
Good.
I think it went on for like 4 hours. People were
I was
still
singing
like,
at midnight. I knew that.
It was fantastic. And
it was kind of sad at the end.
Beautiful
actually.
Voice.
What were you singing near the end?
He was actually alone in the living room. No one else was there.
You don't want to know.
But no, I think we started out with "I Want It That Way" by the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, that's a good start.
Then I think Mario and Baylor Franklin and I, like Ole Miss and Tennessee, more Southern, we did "Take Me Home, Country Roads," which was a good one.
Possibly the one that the people got into the most as a crowd.
That's such a good
I think it's the
song.
Easiest to get into, in yeah. a way. The like chorus is just so easy to sing along
Iconic.
To.
Iconic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, what's your guys' like?
Well, we should all go through, yeah, at least say what we sung as well, yeah. Ollie.
Me and Meg did. Me and Meg did a hard one. We were trying to go
just
for
Bust the Move.
Bust the Move by Young MC, and like we practiced like three times. So like Meg's dad had the CD, and like she listened to that all the time when she was young. But we like brought this little light thing and like an outfit
costumes.
Stuff. Costume stuff, because she wanted to like make it like really good. And we thought if we go earlier, we can put the light on, and then like when people sing songs later on, we can just have it on. I fucking sucked. I like struggled. I was like breathing, like just, it was just, I thought my aerobic skills were way better than this.
Yeah.
But we did, I did Young by MC. I did a couple ones. Me, Morgs, Kai.
All the Aussies.
All the Aussies, Jamie. We did Horses by Daryl Braithwaite, which is a classic Aussie song.
Had to.
I did In Honor of Yard, who wasn't there. He was in New York. Me and Mario did Love Story, I think.
No, You Belong With Me.
Oh, yeah. You Belong With Me by Taylor Swift.
Swiftie. I mean, that one went pretty good.
That one was pretty good. And then I did
Buster Move was tough.
Well, the props to go, were phenomenal.
Yeah, the sit up was phenomenal. But
the amount of words that were in
to try and sing along with that was.
Well, it was funny because people were picking all these
songs.
It needed
to be on like half speed or something.
Yeah. People were picking all these songs, and then Meg comes up to me and she's like, "Oh shit, Ollie, I'm so sorry." I'm like, "What?" She's like, "No one's going to be singing along." I was like, "Yeah, no one's going to sing along. No one. People are not going to be able to do this because like the song is like well known, but not well known for singing along.
The tough thing more vibing, with karaoke, I think we found, is that there's such a big difference between if a song is, let's say, 3 minutes long versus five minutes long when you get up to sing at a karaoke, and then all these verses pop up that you're like, oh, I don't remember this verse existing. And then it's like, oh, I'd really love to be done by now.
Shout out to Tyson, though. I think Tyson crushed it. I think Tyson was MVP.
I don't know the name of that song.
He did Pink Pony Club by Chappelle Roan later. But what really was the good first one? Song he did? It was great.
People, oh, okay. Everyone will know what the song
going
is.
Yeah. What's going on? Yeah. Yeah, that song.
Yeah.
So I wake up in, and he hit the notes too.
He changed the voice for the notes. It was notes. Fantastic.
Anyway, George.
Jenna and I did Year 3000 by the Joe Bros.
Which was a good song because I feel like people know that song.
Fun.
It's very easy to get behind.
Yeah, but you don't know it. Like when you listen to the start, you're like, oh shit, what is this song? And then when the year, like that lyric chorus.
But do you know what we wanted to do? Year 2019. You guys seen that video?
Nope.
No.
This is falling on
Jonas Brothers.
It's the James Corden remake with the Joe Bros.
Classic.
And it's like reworded to be the year 2019. You guys should watch the YouTube video of that. It's very funny. But there's no karaoke version to it.
Oh, tough.
It's like they just change all the words to be like current events. And it's like, there's like Donald Trump's in it. Kanye's in it. Like nice. Not like the words. But it's like when the Joe Bros got back together.
Makes sense.
And they did like a piece.
They're a great band. Great band. Great.
And then.
Great guys.
Great guys.
Jamie and I. And wait, were you up there?
I think I was up there a lot. Well, I was sitting up there a lot.
Me and Jamie, and then somehow we got Ollie for like half of it, did Avril Lavigne.
Yep.
Complicated? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Complicated.
Yeah, that actually went pretty hard.
That's
a good song.
Yeah, when Jamie picked that song, people started getting in the chorus, and then people sang the rest of the song. Yeah.
Mm. Yep. And myself, the starter that Cinta and I had planned, and then luckily we had Ben and Alicia join us as well,
it was a quartet.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was the start of something new. I think that's the name of it, right?
So good.
High School Musical, right? First song.
Honestly, it would have been a bad night if High School Musical didn't come up.
Amazing.
And then it came up like three times.
Yeah. Well, you have to. It was perfect. I think Jamie and I later in the night did the sing-along version of Bet On It from High School Musical 2 as well.
Okay.
I did a few other songs as well. I did Fireflies at some point.
I was not there for that.
Fireflies was good.
There was a lot of chat about Fireflies early on.
We wanted to do one where everyone sung along, but everyone was singing along anyway. But yeah. Fireflies would have been it because everyone knows the lyrics to that one.
Yeah.
Was that the one you did alone in the living room at 12 when no one else was there?
What was I doing then? Oh, we don't need to talk about that.
He was doing Mr. Lonely by
yeah. I'm so lonely.
Akon? Yeah. Akon? Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Now, honestly, half that night I didn't like black out, but like I don't remember half. It was just a blur.
Oh, yeah.
Robert Farkin sang he sang one, and it was pretty good too. It wasn't Country Road. It was something else that everyone knew the lyrics to.
Did he do Don't Stop Believing?
He did.
Was that with Mario maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that
and then,
one.
What about Mario trying to flex? Mario did two Spanish songs, Despacito, and then one other Spanish song I had no idea.
He did the other one's super famous.
Danza Canuto.
Yeah. That one went real hard.
Yeah, I love that one. That was a good song.
So funny.
A couple of summers, our team was out here a couple summers back, and that was like the song of the summer for us. We just play it every day, like summer. Going to runs. Like, it's great. Fine. Do you guys struggle, like, before it? I was trying to listen to music to see like what would be good, and then I'd like listen to all these songs I like, and I'm like, I just don't think it would be like a karaoke song though. Like, it's so hard to differentiate.
I made a little list.
Yeah, we had actually Maya and Olivia, shout out, sent in a list from Spotify with like very, very well known karaoke songs, and the list was actually quite extensive. Yeah. So there was a lot of good songs in there, but you want, like, I think the perfect karaoke song, you have to have people know the song, number one. Number two, it's easy to sing along. And number three, you want it to be not so different, but similar to the point where people can, like, feel like they, like, they're not like, oh, this song again, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if like, I like the song. I do like the song Espresso by Sabrina Carpenter to get played. And I, like, I think I was too over it then, but like in 2 years' time, if we do another karaoke, I'd pick that song. Because people would be like, oh, that song, you know, that was massive. Well, so like songs that were massive like a couple years ago, I think that's like the sweet spot.
Speaking of, I think Maya had an underrated
voice.
That's
what I was going to say. You two missed an absolute treat, as this was like in the later hours.
The wee hours.
So Maya earlier had been singing maybe a little quietly, and then she got up and she did, is it The Climb? Miley Cyrus. Is it The Climb? Or
you got to hit some high notes for that one.
No, but she's actually an amazing singer. And that's like the other, like there's the version of like crushing karaoke that you're talking about where it's like having a good time. And then there's the version which is like, oh, this person's like a really fucking good singer. And she achieved that.
You know what? You know they're really good when like everyone stops singing along because they're like, I just want to hear. Like,
yeah. No, it was very special. So that was cool. And yeah, Cinta got up, did some Italian ones as well. Yeah. The other languages was funny. And then there's some German thrown in there with Falcon and his friend Flo. So yeah, it was overall a nice time with the team, which since you've joined in the last month, we've had some good team bonding moments. It's
great
been
times.
Awesome. It's been
absolutely
good.
Great times. I think I don't know if they're watching, like people are watching on YouTube, but I feel like I need to say like this, what I have going on here, this facial hair.
Gotta address this.
I was bullied into it by these three. No, I'm just kidding. It was like a team Movember thing that we're doing.
You were bullied into it because we did kind of pressure people to do Movember. We're even pressuring Dathan to do it. He's growing out facial hair.
He's doing it.
But he's not doing a mustache.
Yeah.
Why is he not actually?
Well, I mean, Jordy, you gotta fucking get your mustache going, bro.
No, that looks good.
No, but he's got a shave here. He's turned into a beard.
I have the least mustache,
Morgan,
actually.
I was getting to Morgan. Morgan does not have a mustache.
George took that personal right there.
But Jordy, you need to clean up that chin, brother. And then Mario, but the best mustache on the team right now. I mean, Dylan, yours is number one. Actually, Dylan's is number one.
Mario started weeks.
Mario's is number two. Mario looks like he can't be around schools. it's very like.
Mario's is actually good.
I think someone said we were doing we had practice the other day at the track, and he had like his sunglasses on with the mustache and hat, and it was like he looks like a gym teacher right now.
Apparently he is though. I'm the spirit. He's shaving it
before the
end of November. Yeah, because I think
he's actually raising money.
He's raising money, but he said he's going to shave it because he's got some sort of event on with his family, and he doesn't want them to see it. Okay. Jaime told me because Jaime was laughing about it in New York. He like showed me a photo of him like running by himself, like maybe a photo Colin took, and Jaime zoomed in and it just looks at Mario with these Oakley glasses with his mustache, like very, very like posture.
I think
perfect.
He looks sick. I think it's
awesome. Like, that is amazing.
He looks really good on him.
Yeah.
But shall we move on to the next question? Mm-hmm. I think another one of your little friends sent something in. Let's see what we got.
Yeah, so before you moved to Boulder, I sent you a message asking if you wanted to live with us, and you said that you had, quote, a couple of people from Tennessee that you were moving in with, but you live 20 minutes from everyone and alone, so I guess I have a two-part question. Firstly, did your people reject you from living with them, and why didn't you want to live with me?
That one had some emotion behind it.
Yeah, it seemed a little angry. So I feel like
I need passive aggressive.
I need to be careful what I say here.
That's Kai Red Robinson.
No, I think when we were all coming out, like when I was coming out, I didn't know the exact situation, right? Like with the team and everything. So it was like at first, like I was just gonna be like training with everything, and I was like, I don't want to put myself into necessarily living in this house without like knowing exactly what's going on. But also, like, he's from Stanford, so you just, like, I feel like you assume. You just, I don't want to live with this guy. Mm. Like, you know.
Safe assumption.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah.
Safe
so,
assumption.
No, but
that checks out.
I will say, I, like, after practice, because their house is, like, right by it, I'm over at their place a lot just hanging out. Because it's just like...
So you unofficially live with them, kind of.
Yeah, like, I have basically probably a corner in the basement if I really want.
There's a spare room. You may as well put a bed in there.
I may as well. Well, it's just, like, to drive back, it is like 25 minutes. And once you drive back, you don't really want to drive back out. So it's
a good situation for your in-between hours.
Exactly.
Have you locked in that lease and that's 25 minutes away? Are you locked in for there for a long term? Or
it is a decent bed.
Okay.
But I will say, I really enjoy it.
I mean, I've heard the upper stairs area, hot tub area, is quite a seller. I haven't been there yet, but I'm hoping to. You gonna do a housewarming as well?
I would love to, man. I'd love to have you guys there. I mean, I would love to have it up there.
Before the concert. It's just too far away for all of us. We can't get there. We gotta
unless we're going to Red Rocks.
We gotta plan
it out.
That's
like a big trajectory for Red Rocks.
And Morgan was killing the grill when we were up there. He was making burgers for everyone.
Grill master,
killed the grill there.
Oh, unbelievable.
There's three grills there.
Yeah.
There was three grills.
There's three grills. There's pool table on top. Shuffleboard. Shuffleboard is pretty good.
Damn.
Speaking of pool,
you want to lose it something else?
Well, I did want to bring this up.
Oh shit!
I remember after the gala, we had this. We went out to press play, and me and George were playing pool. And I actually recently went back and listened to this podcast because you boys told me that he was giving me crap on it. And I just want to say, even though I lost it for the team, I'm so glad that was the best performance I've ever had. Because, like, if I was my normal self, he would have had so much worse things to say. Like, it was... I thought we played well.
But Dylan, you hit the white ball in. Why you hit the black ball?
Yeah, I think, you know...
That's literally the cardinal sin of
I
pool.
Think we should change it up because the black ball went in first, so I think we should just game over at that point. We just grab the white ball and just leave it.
That's not how pool works, bro, but I respect it. I respect it.
No, it was a lot of fun, though. But I had to bring that up because we did, last night, we were playing ping pong or table tennis, whatever you want to say, against each other. And George is unreal at these games, man.
Yeah, Jordy played a lot of it in the, like, when he boarded in New Zealand because like they're not normal people in New Zealand. They're kind of weird. They get very fixated on certain things, whether it's ping pong or dressing up sheep. So in general, Jordy is extremely talented at a lot of those mini games.
And the stance he gets, like his stance in pool, phenomenal.
Dude, I was watching. we were like eating and stuff, and I turn around and I just see George like literally off the ground. His toes are like just touching the ground. He's got the ping pong bat and he just smacks it down and just smacks it onto someone. And I can't remember who you were playing against, but they were just like standing around going, what the hell am I doing playing with this dude, you know? Jordy was destroying him.
Oh, man.
I think it might have been you, Dylan.
It was probably me. We had some good practice. Games.
We played 12 games. In a row.
Why'd you have to bring that up?
You guys played 12 games?
How many did you win?
See, that's why I knew that question was coming. I knew it.
How many did you win?
I wasn't
going to
bring that up.
I won zero, but hang on. I started losing like 11 to 2, and by the end, it was like 14-12. So okay. Like, I think it just got better throughout.
That's actually pretty good.
The quality improved greatly.
Yeah. Nice. It better have. Otherwise, we wouldn't have played 12 games.
Exactly. Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, I think that's a good spot. Can you... tell the listeners the brief explanation of how you came to be on the team in the journey.
Yeah. So I was, obviously like a lot of people probably know Carlson was, coming out to Colorado and I was going to be coming out either way. Like it makes sense. Altitude, like a lot of great people training out here. And, Dathan kind of hit me up like, hey, in the fall, like you can train with us, like get all this going. I mean, it's probably just a good fit for everyone. Like da da da. And I was like, oh, like that sounds great. And he was like, we'll see if things are like going well, then we'll like add you officially. So coming out, I actually had no clue, but when I was here, I mean, I kind of knew you guys somewhat beforehand, but like everyone was just super great guys. And I think we just like, it was a good time. And I think Dathan probably saw like, I don't know. I wasn't an ass, I guess. I don't know how to put it.
Those first few weeks you got chucked into some workouts with Helen and Joe, and they were obviously quite fit.
That was my first workout was with Helen.
Yeah.
And I was like,
what was that?
She's unbelievable.
Wasn't like 6 times 2K or something?
Yeah, well, and I did 5. She did 6. And let me say, the 6th one, she like dropped the pace by 2. I think I was slowing her down. I was really holding her back. But no, it was interesting coming in and training with them right away because I was like, I'm going to get my ass kicked. Like I knew it going in. But it was like, that's almost where you want to be in a spot. Like you come on a team like this. And I was thinking that when I sat down on this couch, I was like, it's so awesome being a part of this team because you're around so many great, like, not just runners, but people. Like, I feel like you guys, like, outside of running, you guys have podcasts going. You guys have great relationships, you know, so you guys are, like, in great spots. And as someone coming over here, it's like, man, I want to, like, get to the level these guys are running, like, get better and just enjoy my life in the way they do And I think it's super admirable, and all you guys are super down to earth. Like, I don't know, a ton of workouts. I've done recent ones with Morgan, and we just talk about it, how it's just like, yeah, man, just like consistency, have fun with it. We all have a good time, and nothing's too serious.
Dylan, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for reading the cue card and making sure you said the right thing. We were worried that you weren't going to say what we sent you, but we're so glad that you read the cue card and we made sure that, you know, we keep up our
appearances. We can end it.
Once I heard Mario shaving before December, I was like, maybe if I say this, I could get off the hook.
yeah, it makes sense now. But
was it a tough time training alone? Like, going from college team to training alone for a year?
Yeah.
To now being back on the team, like, do you feel like that's going to be like a big difference maker?
Yeah, like when I, at the end of college, I had an injury. So then it was like trying to get healthy from that. And there were a couple people in Knoxville, but I mean, when you only have like two or three people, if one person's hurt, I mean, then you're back alone. So I'd say by the end, and I love training with the people I had there, but by the end, it was definitely a lot more solo. And I think you almost lose the love for the sport in a way, because I think I've told like Morgan sometimes on runs, it's like, when you come and you have an easy day at practice, it's like the energy isn't always there when you're alone. It's like you get up and you're like, all right, I got to go do this. But here, it's like, oh, I'm just going to go like chat with the boys for 10 minutes.
Just go hang out with the team.
It's a great time. And I think the energy around it, it's not like competitive at all. We have a great time. We all want to get better. We all like focus on doing the right things, not trying to kill each other or anything. And I think that's like it's a great culture in a way. Like if this was a college team, you'd say like, oh, they have a great culture. Like that team aspect. And it's definitely like an honor, like being able to join it. Cause I'm super blessed in a way of, not so many people would probably want to join a team like this with athletes like this, and they can train at this level. I mean, it's an honor.
Yeah. We're the NAU of professional running.
That's what they're calling us.
I mean, like it is like Dylan, honestly, I think Jordy maybe can relate to this too. When we first started the team, that was a big thing. Like, oh, we got to keep a really good culture, like good people. And the thing is, though, we really like just been so lucky with the people we've signed on, like men and women. We've just every single person we've brought into the team and people that have left too, they've just been such a great positive impact on everyone. And I feel like it's just weird. It's just weird that how lucky we are with the people that we've been able to get, with the talent as well, you know. So I mean, having you and Robert join, particularly for the men's side, and mine, Olivia, and I mean Kai's all right, but in general, having those people to get, like, it's felt so, I don't know how you two feel, but it's felt so like it just clicked straight away, like practice and everything's just felt so in line. So it's always just always feeling so, like, you know, we're very, very lucky. Yeah. To get people like you to come join us, and you make us better, and we get to make fun of you and make you wear a ridiculous mustache.
And that's what I love most.
That's what we love, because then, you know, then after that you can just give us shit constantly, and yeah, we hope that you do. But yeah, I remember you telling me, I think one of the earlier runs we were just talking absolute rubbish, and you said, oh, I really miss this from running alone. And then, you know, knowing about being alone as a professional runner, it is extremely tough. And I've been very fortunate, as well as George and Morgan, to be able to be part of a team where we haven't had that issue. So to reflect on that, you know, it's I can imagine it's so tough.
Yeah, well, when George asked about it, it's like, I think the hardest part is you go into it and you're like, oh, like, I'll stay healthy, I'll do this. But the hardest part is just like happiness in life, right? Like outside. Like I was kind of saying, it seems like when you're happy in life, you're like performing better. You like have a lot more going for you. It's weird. And I think that's where you miss that. Like when you lose that joy of it a little bit, it just makes everything go, like, it's like a downhill effect in a way. I don't know, like Morgan, you were alone for a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know if you could relate to that, like from that to coming here, but it's definitely, like, it's a massive difference.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of what we were talking about when we chatted in LA last year. Mm-hmm. I could tell that you were in a similar spot to where I had been. Cause you know, back on Team Boss, I hadn't had any male like training partners at the end. And I like, it just sucked away a lot of the fun of the sport. And I really missed those times back in college. And when we chatted, I could see you're in a similar place where it's not like you were any less of a runner. It's, you know, anything like that. But it's just like, if you're not enjoying your daily life, because I mean, what we do, it's monotonous in some ways. It's, you just have to get in the work consistently. And if the way that you're doing it is not enjoyable, it just makes it so much harder. It's a world of difference going on like a 10-mile run with your teammates when you're enjoying being around them compared to going on a 10-mile run when you're already maybe mentally struggling with some certain worries and anxieties and you have to go and do it on your own. And I could tell that you just needed to be part of a team.
Exactly. I mean, and that, with like that being said, I still am super thankful for the people there who helped out. Like, obviously, just to get through the year and everything and get to like the trials and finish fifth. I mean, I couldn't have done it without the people who were there. So like, extremely grateful for that. I just think now this is an awesome opportunity where I'm like super grateful for that as well.
Yeah. Lovely. How sweet. How sweet. We still have a little bit of time and I still have more questions, but I do want to make some time for you to ask any questions or talk about anything specifically that you want to talk about. Cause I know that you're a man of ideas. Is there anything that you do want to ask us?
Do a couple more questions and I'll think.
So one that's kind of like, this is from a former teammate. I don't know if he wants to say the name or not. Did you overlap with Brendan?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. You guys were teammates.
Oh, no. Okay,
he's the year after.
Brendan Gomez. Yeah. No, he was the year after.
This is kind of a joke, but it was more to talk about how training has changed for you and your relationship with Coach Carlson. But he asked, do you prefer 25 by K or double threshold?
So I've actually never done double threshold.
Have you done 25 times a K?
20 by K once. And it was like, I remember Carlson telling me it, and I was like, man, this is going to be tough. me and another kid drove to, they were doing SECs in Columbia, South Carolina. And that was the weekend I was supposed to do it. And I was like, well, doing this alone would be very tough. So I drove out there to go do it on this little path. And it actually wasn't that bad because you're not like pushing hard. You know what I mean? Like you're trying to keep it consistent, just get the volume. But it was a ton of volume. And but if you have the right group and you have like music playing and like someone biking with you or whatever, I think it's not too bad. You can get through it.
Yeah.
I've never done double T though. So I can't really attest to that.
What do you think you would prefer?
So I was around last year and there were a lot of the milers doing double T at Tennessee and I saw it. And I think if you have a good crew doing it, I think it could be a lot of fun. But that's more like just personal wise. Fitness wise, I'm a firm believer that whatever system you're in, if you stay consistent and healthy in that, you'll probably find success like running.
Good advice.
Yeah. So that's just, I don't think too much into like what training or what workout we're doing exactly.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Carlson had the college team do like,
yeah, I see
20 something by K.
He's famous for the big aerobic days, right?
Yeah.
Lots of K reps.
It was like later on in college too. I remember we started and like my freshman, sophomore year was like, all right, 8 by K. Like it's short, and then by my fifth year it's like 20, like what? we weren't training hard enough before but it's interesting because the NCAA got like so much better at points. It's like it's the natural progression, you know, training just increased so much over that time.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Another good question we had is that you famously did not run with a watch. Our team, we all wear watches because Dathan checks our training via Final Surge. Do you still not wear a watch, or how's that transition?
No, I wear a watch now. I'm forced to. Obviously, you have to with the training and everything. I knew routes back at the places I ran, so you just, like, you know what the distance is, and you just go and do it. And for me, I like not wearing one because you don't think too much of it. Whenever I'm wearing a watch, I'm, like, looking down at the pace and everything. And when you're not, it's just like, oh, if I feel crappy today, who cares if I'm running a 7:45 pace? It's like, I'm recovering. But
Have you got that watch syncing yet? I've heard there's been some issues with that.
No, it's in process, man. It's in process.
Would you also not wear one for workouts?
No, because we'd like a coach would be there timing. So yeah. It was just kind of like, all right.
That was when Kai joined the team this summer. He'd never taken a split before on his watch. Ever.
These kids.
Because they just have someone
privileged.
They just have someone doing it for them. So he would have no clue like how long the recovery was or the rep. Because he just wouldn't have the...
That's tough, actually. The recovery is almost the tough part.
Yeah, that's like almost the main one.
That's the hardest part for me still. Like in the reps, it's like lapping it or splitting it the right way. Like I still don't do it. Like the last workout on Sunday with Morgan, I was like, Morgan will get the recovery. I was like, we'll be good.
I'll just let the watch run. That's fine.
I'll sit for 5 minutes and I'll be like, oh, I should probably go now.
These kids.
These fucking kids.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's interesting.
We have a little throwback to our New York trip. We also, Dylan, was on the New York trip. This may be the story you want to tell. Did This is from Arm. Did the girl ever call you back after the New York Marathon?
Yeah, so the story is we were all watching, and we were at, I think it was like mile 11.5 or something.
The on-section.
And across the street, there was this woman holding the sign. It's like, this person is like cute, fast, and like whatever, like, and here's her number, like call her. And I was like, well, that'd be kind of fun. Like, why not? So I give her a call, and then it obviously goes to voicemail because she was running. That would have been really interesting if she answered. And I did get a text later that day. We were actually leaving on a flight out, but I got a text, and it was like, hey, like, bring some friends and come to, like, this bar. We're all going out here. Like, this is the girl from the race or whatever.
What did your voicemail sound like? You left a voicemail?
Did you leave a voicemail?
Yeah. So hers was like, the poster obviously was made by the friends for this girl. Yeah. And it was like, she's, like, fast, like, attractive and funny or something like that. And single.
Please call. And there's a video, there's a very, very funny video of, like, I don't know, I think maybe Tom got
it.
It
was Tom Wang.
Yeah, it's a video of the site, and then it just pans over, and then it's Kai giggling in the background, and you're leaving the voicemail. It's, like, the best video ever.
But
what was on your voicemail?
So my voicemail, I was like, hey, like, I'm single, ugly, and pretty slow. So if you'd want to, like, hang out sometime, let me know.
That's good.
But yeah, I mean, honestly, it seemed like it would have been a good time hanging out, but yeah, we had to get back obviously and train and everything. But hey man, you gotta take a shot, man.
Why not?
You miss every shot you don't take, that's what they say.
Why not? One thing we haven't mentioned yet somehow is that you're once again teammates with Yared. So at Notre Dame you guys were teammates together for a few years. Tell us about you. What was he like in college? I think I know the answer to this one.
I think his personality has come out a lot more now. Like, you look at all these interviews and everything, and it's like, oh, name your favorite, like, Pokemon, name all this. And, like, back then, we knew he was into that stuff. Like, he had the tortoise and everything. But, like, it wasn't as well known.
The tortoise thing's interesting because I didn't know this story, but do you want to tell the listeners why Yared initially got the tortoise and now why he's kept it? Because there was an initial thing for the tortoise to be not actually owned by Yared anymore, right?
Yeah, Yared got the tortoise and his idea. And he didn't ask us before. He just did it, right?
Yeah.
It was, yo, I think it'd be funny if we just passed the tortoise down to every senior class. And we were the next senior class, and we were like, I don't know if we want a pet tortoise.
Well, he told me after I found out about this story, which I was like, holy shit, Yared, you never told me about this. He said that, like, after, like, a couple months, he realized, like, I ain't no way I'm leaving Tyra with these lunatics. I'm going to take Tyra with me. But his initial idea was to pass him on, because he thought it'd be really funny in, like, 30 years when you do, like, a reunion and stuff, he would come back and Tyra would still be there with the cross country track and field team.
Well, they live long. Like, that tortoise would have been really gone.
Yeah, they'd be middle-aged.
Could you imagine, like, 55-year-old Yared going to the senior guy's house at Notre Dame and being like, yo, that's my tortoise.
I saw that, yeah.
They would love that. That would have been sick. You guys should have taken him.
Oh, yeah, but then, you, like, just the trust.
It is trust.
The tortoise, like, they're chill to look after, but they're still kind of, you still got a lot of responsibility.
I had to look after him one time. It was for, like, a week. And Yared, basically the only job was, like, dude, like, feed him a piece of lettuce every day. Like, once a day, just a piece of lettuce. And I think I forgot one day. So, like, we don't have... But Yared said it's okay. He could not eat for, like, 2 weeks. And
yeah, that's the thing. Like, if you forget to feed him, it's like, all right, this is actually fine. If you forget to feed him the next day, also completely fine. Another day, you'll probably be fine still.
Well, Yared, the first time he got it, it was in the basement of their house. And he bought, like, two space heaters for Tyrell, because, like, you needed it or whatever. And I remember the guys coming to practice, and they were like, dude, like, utilities were, like, $400 this month. Like, what happened? And Yard's like, oh, shoot, I think that might be my fault. Because they were running, like, 24 hours the entire month. And then he had to figure out another way. But, yeah, man, I think there's a lot more with the tortoise than you'd initially think of.
I like that.
Then the hibernation, you know, he says he puts
it in the funniest thing is he puts it in the fridge. He puts Tyra in a fridge for, like,
he's got his own fridge.
Most of the, like, the winter break. Yeah. I was like, oh, what do you do with Tyra? And yeah, I was like, oh, he's in the fridge. He just has that little mini bar fridge, and then Tyra just sits in there, and then, like, every week, I will come out, check the tortoise, like, yep, he's still alive, closes the fridge, check him next week.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Well,
what a pit. The whole winter, you don't even get to hang out with him.
But I will say, like, Yared, you asked, like, what he was like and if he's the same. I mean, I think the thing about him is he's so down to earth, man. for how good he is and how much success he's had, and it happened like immediate. I mean, he is just the most relaxed guy, doesn't like make a big deal out of anything. It's like, if you're going to go do a run and you want to do a route, like a different route, he wouldn't care. He'd just go do it. But I remember training with him my freshman year, and we'd start like talking crap a little, just like messing around, having fun. And guys on the team were like, yo, like, can't talk crap to Yard. like that's not okay. I was like, oh shit. like, oh, this is the real deal. But I think our relationship's grown, and now we like give each other crap and everything, and it's a good time.
It's a beautiful thing. Yeah. No, I can't imagine Yard ever really changing.
No, he's
gonna stay true to himself.
He's got his like yellow Mustang and everything.
He's just becoming more Yard.
Yeah.
That's it.
I saw a yellow Mustang that was the exact same car driving to practice one of these mornings, and I was like, Yard, is there like another person in Boulder with it? And he goes, yeah, actually, they like live pretty close. He's seen it a couple times.
I think there's like a surprisingly amount of those.
that Mustang is very popular.
Yeah.
It's a cool car, I guess.
It is a nice car. It's really cool. Yeah.
Back to you. Or do you have something?
Well, I mean, what was it for you guys then? Like obviously me and Yard are reuniting, but like when you guys came on the team then and reunited for the first time, like what was it like?
Well, we
they lived together. So
during COVID, season was done. I didn't get to do my indoor outdoor.
Yeah.
Same as George.
Yeah.
And then the options for me were like pretty much on or nothing. So I signed. I was like, I'm gonna sign to on and move to Boulder. And Morgan was with me at that process and like was very knowledgeable and helpful because he had gone through it with Under Armour. And he and I had a dream that we would stay under Mick Byrne and I'd get an Under Armour contract and we'd stay in Madison and start up our own thing. That was our dream. And it just wasn't going to work out. But then I think Morgan can talk about it himself because it's his own experience. But from what I was seeing that like if I was going to go away and he's going to be on his own again, it's like, well, I got to look for another option. And Boulder is like a great place to train. Like you mentioned, there's great people here. So when I made that decision, Morgan was like, fuck it, let's go to Boulder together. And he was chatting to Joe Bossard at the time and looking at joining Team Boss and then being with a professional team and having that kind of team structure that you really need as a professional runner. So I drove a U-Haul. Morgan drove his car from Madison to Boulder. I didn't have an American driver's license at that stage, so we kind of got away with that. But all our shit, packed it all up. We moved into this apartment in Maxwell and Morgan was with Team Boss and I was starting with OAC. And then slowly like OAC was like, you know, we were looking at trying to get more people and Morgan can talk about what happens next. But like we were kind of together for that, but we were both on different teams, but we were still like living this pro running life. And it was kind of fun because like we... Well, my dad's obsessed with Morgan. My dad, like when Morgan was a high school phenom in Australia. So like my dad, I remember one of my best races in high school, I was like second. But my dad was really excited and I was like, oh, what is that? And he went to watch Morgan's race because Morgan's running underage and won the national champs and just like destroyed everyone. And my dad's like, oh, Morgan, we don't, you know, he loved Morgan. And like I met Morgan when I was 10, like at a national thing. So then we just followed each other's careers and he went to Wisconsin. I was like, oh, I'll go to Wisconsin too, met Morgan. And then we've done this pro thing. So it's like the journey's been kind of crazy, but Morgan can kind of chat about like when he joined our team because that was in, I think, a year later.
Yeah, pretty much we were never apart because we lived together in the year that I wasn't on the same team.
Did you guys train together at Wisconsin even though you guys were different like distances?
Not a lot. I think obviously during cross country, yes.
Yeah.
The whole team was together and then during track things we get split up into groups a little bit.
Yeah. We do a lot of hill stuff together. We do a lot of like arboretum tempos together.
Just when it made sense.
Yeah. And then I would train a lot with the mid D stuff and then Morgan would do longer stuff.
That makes sense.
And then like a year later Morgan was having chats with Dathan, they're looking at signing Morgan and then he joined the team Morgan joined the team at the wasn't official, but he was with us at the USA Olympic trials.
Okay.
That's when I announced it, yeah.
Yeah.
It was like the month before the Olympics in 2021. Yeah.
Big that Wisconsin was, gang here.
Yeah, honestly. Alicia.
And now Notre Dame.
Three Notre Dame
people. It's because it's impossible to get them out of Flagstaff, bro.
Yeah.
That's fair, actually.
They just don't get the
I'm really afraid that we have to do everything in our power to stop this, but I don't want a Stanford pipeline to happen.
Do you reckon that could happen now with Kai?
It started. It's the beginning of one.
Yeah.
That's funny.
He might be the straw that broke the camel's back.
Well, the nice thing is we've got like a German pipeline now as well as a Tennessee Notre Dame pipeline. So
we've got a lot of different pipelines.
There's a lot of
different
pipelines.
Directions. You can travel anywhere via
I actually want more. I want more Europeans. like I would love like just
what
some
countries
like,
would you like specifically?
Polish, like something just like different countries.
You say that because we have I don't know, are we allowed to say that? No. Okay, what? Move on. We have a Polish person visiting. Is that why you said that?
Do we?
No.
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 We'll just pretend that didn't happen. I thought you were talking about we had a Polish person on the team.
We did. We did, Alicia. But I'm like saying like countries that like are not. I'm just saying like European countries that we currently don't have on the team. So like Poland, the UK, Ireland, I don't know, Lithuania.
Like one, like countries that would be really good for OEC Europe.
Yeah, but we get them. We get them. We get them.
Ollie actually just wants one person for every single country in the world. On this team.
Fiji.
That's the end goal.
Fiji would be cool.
We got Maya, so.
I would say I would love more Europeans because when I first came here, like Robert Farkin, obviously, dude, his outfits were like phenomenal.
Dude, he's Meg, when we were at the karaoke, she's like, Robert knows how to dress. I was like,
Europeans dress very well.
He had the little cravat on. Meg's got a nickname for him, actually. Well, Megan Meyer had a nickname for him, Fred from Scooby Doo. Because
wait,
the,
that was I took it.
Oh, did you say it? Did you say it as well?
Come on, guys. All right, I'm gonna share the picture.
I mean, it's not a hard one to pick up because you can see him with the cravat. Yeah, he looks like
he does. He
looks like Fred from
he does.
From Scooby Doo.
It was perfect.
He'd be perfect for that for Halloween. He should definitely do that for Halloween. He'd be amazing.
In New York, I was like Farkin, I want to dress like you, man. Like I was like, show me the ropes. So we went out.
This is amazing.
Yeah, we had a team dinner one of the nights. So me and him at like 2 o'clock, we were like, all right, let's go shopping. So I was like, dude, take me out. Like, give me an outfit. Give me an outfit to look good.
I love this.
I mean, it was definitely like a Robert, like a European outfit. We pull up to dinner and we're all like standing outside before. And some like people compliment like, yeah, like outfit looks good, man.
What is it? What's the outfit? Describe it.
It was like corduroy pants like that.
A bit wider.
And then actually this shirt and a jacket that like went over. But we pull up to dinner and people are like, yo, like it's a nice outfit. Like where'd you get it?
Dylan, you look like, way better than normal.
Basically, that's what it was. It was like, normally you're ugly. Now you're slightly less ugly. And Robert was, or I was like, it's all Robert, man. And then everyone started being like, Robert, like, you need to be the person that dresses
stylist.
Us. Like, you need to be Next our team job, stylist. Stylist. I mean, it was phenomenal. Like, it 100% was phenomenal.
He's definitely the best dressed guy on the team.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Fashion. Fashion icon. Style.
Europeans in general, I think they're more likely going to, like, not overdress, but they're not going to be underdressed to anything. Like, I feel like they just put more thought into it.
I agree. No doubt. And it's definitely worth it because they look great.
Yeah, it works.
Big payoff.
Oh, no doubt.
Big payoff.
Yeah. I actually had a question, though, for you guys off topic. So, like, last year, I realized there's a lot of free time, right, in, like, the sport. You have a lot of free time outside of it. So I tried to, like, pick up guitar or, like, pick up something else. Like, what's your, like, go-to outside? Obviously, you got the podcast and other stuff. I know Morgan's got, like, the YouTube and everything. But, like, what's some stuff you picked up when you realized how much, like, time you had?
Falconry.
What is that?
Falconry.
Falconry.
Yeah.
You got a pet falconry? Falcon.
A pet falcon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. 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 Ulysses. My pet falcon. No, I mean, I play a lot of video games, but I've been getting into, I've been practicing the piano, but I've been slack the past, like since coming back, I've not been back to what I think just moving into a new place too. I just don't go to the piano as much as I used to back at Spruce where Morgan and I lived. So I was playing a bit of piano, building
vegan
Legos.
Meals. We haven't checked in on that episode.
Once a week,
right?
That's done.
I thought it was the whole year.
That's done. No, it's done.
It was a New Year's resolution.
It was. I'm done.
How many weeks did you do?
I went till probably September.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
That's absolute bullshit. That was a lie straight to our faces. Oh, look at us and say that again.
September.
You cooked one vegan meal a week.
No, vegetarian. I didn't cook.
If
I mostly got
September, that would have been 32 vegan meals.
Well, it wasn't vegan. I told Jonas this, and I mentioned this on multiple podcasts because this is recorded. I started doing vegetarian more than vegan because I just couldn't handle not having cheese on vegetarian meals. So I couldn't do vegan, but I went till about September and then just stopped.
Why is, like, as you get older, if you know how to play an instrument, like, really well, it's, like, such a flex. It's unbelievable.
Well, it's the same with talking languages, right? So, like, being bilingual is, like, really cool, but and also playing an instrument, but when you're young, it's like no, I don't want to do that.
It's like, I want to play sports, or I want to do this. And then you get older and it's like, I want to play the piano.
I just stuck with sports. Mine is just, I still play table tennis.
you get that in that posture, that formation, and you just get ready.
Jordy, what do you do when you're off time?
I play table tennis most days.
Really? We got to play more often because I need to win one out of these games, one of them.
You don't want to play with him, though. You have to secretly go and play so you can practice, so you can get
practice
better.
Practice with Morgan. Morgan's pretty good, or Avery or something.
I'll be your coach. Yeah. I'll hit the ball back
to you. Mr. Miyagi. He'll be Mr. Miyagi for you.
You know what I enjoyed, actually, last night when we were at that place for Joe's birthday? It was the punching bag.
I did not enjoy that.
That's what you want to get into.
It was that machine where, I mean, you swipe and you press it and you punch the bag and it tells you how hard you hit it. That was so much fun.
The funniest thing was turning around and seeing Yara do it. I think he just misplaced his fist.
He had one bad punch.
And then he hit it, and it just went to 149. He's like looking around. He's like, that doesn't count. And I was like, I guess just, you know, it's such a men's like insecurity thing, right? So people look at that and like, oh yeah, I got to get a high score.
It matters.
Like it matters. Yeah. Like otherwise, people are gonna look at me differently.
Who walked away with the high score?
Avery.
Avery did have the highest. Yeah, he almost broke 900.
Yeah. I mean, it really is like a thing though. Where when I was gonna first punch it, I was super nervous and I actually whiffed on my first one. But I was like, I do not want to like embarrass myself by dropping like a 500 here, like because everyone had 800 before.
That's why I didn't attempt it.
Yeah. You stuck to the pin.
I had like 700 and something.
And then we all had sore wrists from it. Like literally.
I did it. I think I did it once and got 700 and something. I was like, oh.
Yeah, but that was the first one. We all did a couple. Yeah, by the
Well, I mean, like in general also, like that's like, oh, what's that going to prove? That you can
how strong you are, how hard you can punch,
how manly you are.
Who would win in a fight
sure
night?
That, are we sure that that's a really good measurement for how hard you can punch?
I think it literally is.
Don't pretend like you didn't think that was important while you were punching.
No, you know what the most important thing for me is in that arena was winning in the crane, and I couldn't do it. I like spent so many of my credits trying to win in the crane.
Wait, is that the
little hand that comes down and gets like a prize?
Those are hard.
That was like, that to me is like way more crucial than punching a bag and getting a number. Cause like you get a reward, George, you get like a little keychain or like a plush doll or some shit.
Fair enough.
I reckon Morgan would be pretty good in the fight, man.
Dude, I have video of Morgan boxing and it's very impressive. Morgan boxing, dude, he's dangerous.
Yeah. George is sitting over here shaking. Like he would be good too. We all know. Yeah. We all know.
Well, look
good.
At Jordy's hands.
Yeah.
Big hands.
strong hands.
Strong hands.
Strong hands.
Ollie does have little tiny lady hands. Look at those slender fingers.
That's why I played the piano so well. Things.
No, he'd be good with a slap.
No, I'm good at... No, I'm a lover, not a fighter, Dylan. I play the piano.
Type of guy.
That is fair. That
I play the
fair.
Piano. That's why I got these feminine, girly hands.
Have you guys played instruments growing up?
Yeah, but not successfully. I had like five, but I stopped them all.
Yeah.
After a year.
Did you guys, like, in school growing up, have to do the harmonica? I think
we did the recorder.
Recorder. I think that was the first thing, like, everyone had to do. And what was it, hot cross buns or something?
Yeah, yeah. One a penny, two a penny hot.
How did that get into the world's school curriculum?
Just probably the easiest song to play.
The big recorder money.
Yeah. Someone
they got it written in.
Whoever's got someone that song big is recorder. Making bank. Just from schools for the recording.
Otherwise, that instrument would be irrelevant.
It is irrelevant, though. It's a fucking useless instrument recorder. Harmonica is way more useful than a fucking recorder.
I saw a video of someone like actually playing the harmonica like really well. It's unbelievable.
It's actually pretty sweet.
I think the flute.
Honestly, watch Bob Dylan play.
Was it Zach Bryan?
Bob Dylan using it. It's the coolest thing ever. Like he has like all the stuff, and then he has the thing around it. Him using the harmonica is sick.
But speaking of Bob Dylan, interesting fact: two guys on the team are named after Bob Dylan.
And one of them sitting right here.
Yeah, the two new guys, Robert Farkin.
It's a cool thing that unites you two.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And I don't know how it came up, but it was kind of random.
Honestly, if you two had a baby together, it would look like Bob Dylan. Maybe
I don't. It's tough for me to imagine.
I'm trying to imagine it right now. I'm just trying to put that together. I don't know. I'd love to.
I mean, he'd definitely be carrying the weight of the looks with that kid. That kid would be lucky to have Robert as part of it.
I feel like you look a bit like Bob Dylan, though, compared to Robert.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Have we got any questions left?
I think it's pretty. Is there anything else from you, Dylan, or how do you feel? Anything you want to say to all your fans out there?
To all the fans. Yeah, man, this is a great spot. Boulder's unbelievable. I think I drive to practice every day, and it's kind of a far drive, so I got music going, getting in a good mindset.
You're always there early as well.
You look out and you just see the mound. The mound's like over top, and you're like, man, how can you not be happy? Like, I think you just wake up happier here. It's unbelievable.
I need Dylan's mindset.
It's so underrated. I think like actually just being in a good mental spot, very happy, like just in life in general.
Jordy's just a pessimist right now because NAU is not number one in the cross country rankings. That's pretty much what it is.
Nah, George is a happy guy, man. I could tell, especially when he beats me in some of these sports.
When he wins, he's happy. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, right back at you, Dylan. We're always very happy to have you at training every single day. You definitely brighten the room.
Oh, thank you,
man. And we are very, very excited to see how that does eventually or soon translate into performances on the track. You know, get out there, achieve your goals. And yeah, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We've loved having you.
Thank you guys, man. I genuinely appreciate it. This was awesome.
Amazing. Well, big thanks also to everyone that listened. This has been episode, I think, 161. And we look forward to seeing you guys all again next week.